like Brian Wilson did, and so forth.
Excellent singing.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Also, just so you know, Hamish, the end of that singing I just recorded. Look, hang on, no. Well, yeah, sure. Because I just threw up. I just threw up OBS and started recording because I know we made this mistake before, where we start off doing a really good podcast content and
catch it.
Oh, sorry. I said the wrong word.
Probably.
Right, I've got
it. Ruined it.
I don't have a better word.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? I've got to break this creature, and then I'll be right back. Okay, so just give me a second.
Okay, we'll do the pre-show. We'll work out what to do actually, because we kind of just did this ad hoc.
Actually, I probably should have gone for a piss before we start.
That's so right. Go. I'll hold the fort.
The fort. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's got his ponytail.
No, what's the term? Not brainstorm. What's the thing?
Vamp.
No, that like coming up with an idea.
That's brainstorming.
Brainstorming. Well, brainstorming's coming up with. Yeah. No, I mean, there's a word that I'm trying to. It will come to me while I'm.
Okay. Well, do you want to sit at home, folks, and guess what word Drew's coming up with? Hey. Ugh. Didn't you say you was walking peanut or something?
No, I was braving peanut. We've just come back.
Oh.
Yeah. Just back in.
Okay, cool. Well,
can you hear me? Is that okay? That
we're doing all right. I think the audio sounds pretty good.
I've got to do Wordle. I've not done it yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't know if you can see what I'm doing or not, but I always start with the same word. So, oh my god, it's not that. Okay.
Okay. Is alien the one that you start off with?
Oh, yeah, and I've got a second word I always use, and that hasn't come up. So that's 10 letters taken away in the first two guesses.
Oh, so you start off with one word and then another word with none of the same letters?
No. Yeah. I start off with the word alien.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't tell. I think quite a few people know this by now anyway, just because obviously that's a bit of a clue if people are looking at even just the coloured squares, isn't it? Yeah. But if I don't get any letters, if there's none of the letters of alien fit, I type ghost.
Oh, okay.
However, sometimes if the A is right but in the wrong place and there's still no L, I, E, or N, I'll type ghast.
Oh, okay.
Ghast is a good word. Workshop is the word I was.
Okay.
I was going to say you should workshop it on your own.
Oh, okay. Well. I mean, because we did think about tier listing the letters of the alphabet. Yeah. Numbers, you had strong opinions on numbers, didn't you?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. And then you raised the bar on that and started mentioning things like pi, and I thought, oh, actually, that is an interesting.
Something that I've only realized through conversation with people, like wing, for example. Hmm. So I've always been. Like if you name within reason, if you name a category of things, I always just have a favorite. Just that's how I organize information in my brain. Like I always have a favorite of whatever. And like Wing is the absolute opposite of that. He hates being made to choose a favorite. Like for him, everything exists in some kind of continuum or something.
Oh, okay.
And having to choose a favorite disrupts. I don't know, I'm putting words in its mouth. But yeah, I've always thought everybody. So yeah, I have strong opinions. About completely like, yeah, you know, favorite number, you know, it's fucking really important to me.
What is your, do you have a favorite number?
23.
Prime number, right?
It's prime, which is great. It's odd, which is, it's also my birthday, but I don't think it's because it's my birthday. I think it's a great fucking number.
Oh, okay. I quite like the numbers.
It was Michael Jordan's number.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Big Michael Jordan fan.
What, sorry?
Basketball, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've always liked the number 7, but I've never figured that's like a particularly original favourite.
7's good. I think 7's a good, solid choice.
Yeah.
I mean, Newton had a thing about the number 7.
Oh, okay.
Which is why we've got an incorrect number of colours in our rainbow.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, he thought, because he was... Newton, incredibly smart man, but also had some wacky fucking ideas. Like metaphysical and magical. And he thought the number 7 was magic, so he clutched it.
I was going to say there's a lot of like people who we now regard as great scientists who were also still hanging on to religion and other superstitions, and that really held back a lot. You see it. You see people that are so close to getting something amazing in their lifetime, and because they had like belief in fairy tales, they just wouldn't get that other step in their thinking.
The one that always gets me,
I think physicists have a higher incidence of, or like astrophysicists and quantum physicists have a higher incidence of being religious than. I think than either baseline than other scientists, which makes sense to me when you're hitting up against like the complete unknowns.
Yeah, but
also it could be a field that attracts the theologically minded. You know,
wanting to uncover those kind of big secrets.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing that really gets me is that the guy that invented the MRI machine thinks the Earth is 10,000 years old.
Really?
That blows my mind. So it's like.
It's fun when you have that incongruity, though. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Really smart people can be really dumb at the same time. Like, that's the thing. Like, intelligence isn't just like a scale where you just learn more and more facts. It's just...
Well, I mean, I don't know whether to bring him up. Well, I'll wait till Drew's back and bring this up.
I'm
always here. Richard Dawkins is getting...
he's a prick.
He's always been a prick. But, you know, he had some scientific regard. He was regarded a bit in scientific circles for all, you know. But that's just gone down and down and down over the years. And his current one is he now believes that an AI chatbot is sentient. telling everybody.
That just
going on. Oh wow! You know, it's like two or three sentences worth of stuff, and he's gone. Oh my god, this is sentience. What is it? It's a fucking word machine, mate.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ever discovered Eliza when he was younger. I don't think there's. I think what they've done with these LLMs is refined it, and you know, weighted it to massage people's egos, which we know for a fact. But apart from that, I don't see the huge difference between that and Eliza, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, right, so you know there's a word for it, a phenomenon where people see faces in things. You know, like that house that looks like Hitler, but it's just a house. Yeah. But it does look like it. Like, our brains have something in it that, like, try and cling on to the shape of a face. And the way I think about it is that our minds have something that sort of cling on to the shapes of sentences, like rhythms and like very repetitive things. So the LLMs churn out things that sort of fit these rhythms. So we think it feels that it's making sense when it's not,
we're prone and want to invest things with personality. It's why fiction, you know, if you look at fiction, what fiction is, it's absurd that we read these things that never happened. And kind of trick ourselves into believing that we're reading something that actually happens so that we can enjoy it. Like, it makes no fucking sense.
You have to.
I think the other difference with Eliza is, you know, if you are competent in whatever language, you could look at the source code of Eliza and understand why it's making any particular response or whatever. LLM, because they're black boxes, I think it allows you to mysticize about them. Or allows idiots to think.
I mean, isn't it just like glorified magic eight ball with, you know?
I feel sorry for these people that, you know, that are, you know, they've got mental health problems, or they're, you know, they're extremely lonely and all that sort of stuff. And this machine just drags them in. I mean, it's cruel.
I got to be honest, on an early, I think it was either a Freebooters or a Trendy Talk, I did call it that AI was going to destroy art. And I think I was quite close. Because...
I think you're both going to scorn me for this. But I have my things where there's an afternoon where I'm just like, I'm in a particular whatever, and I just want to watch, like, for example, usually it's like local news bloopers. I've mentioned this many times. But one of my current ones is I just want to watch AI slop and just to... out of curiosity and see where we are with it. Okay. And see, try and not enjoying it in itself, but just trying to think about why do people watch this? What are they going for with the particular kind of videos that they're making? You know, that kind of looking at it from that aspect, and also finding it kind of fun, you know, when people's arms morph into like it's kind of funny as well. And I'll just watch it for an afternoon.
When I had my
moral from a moral standpoint, and
people,
which means they're going to use more of this stuff, and It's to me, it's a bit like I haven't had television for 25 years, about 25 years, and I haven't seen adverts on the internet for 20 years. And it's still the only place I get adverts now is on the radio because it's in the car.
Auto Glass Repair, shout out.
Okay. And obviously, it's the other place I hear adverts. I didn't realise how casual people were about LLMs. How well the tech bro machine had been, and now I'm seeing like magazines in the shops for it, and I think is that just a sort of?
I don't think people are. No, I think they're trying to push it. Another thing, my ad blocker stopped working. My ad blocker stopped working on YouTube recently in Qt browser, so I'm seeing a lot of ads. And I would say at least 90% of the ads that I'm seeing are for the LLMs. For like things that vibe coding things and Wix, the place where you can go and do like a
little
clicky
website.
Button website. They've got an LLM thing where you just describe the website you want and it makes the website for you.
The thing
the other 10% of ads I see are made by LLMs.
All right,
the thing
that's cracking me up is basically what they're doing is teaching people to program eventually.
This is like when spell checkers came along and my spelling went to shit. Like, is it really teaching people to
Well, no, it's teaching people who didn't know how to program before. No, but there's what do you call it? Oh god, I forgot what you there's a thing I was trying to say and I can't right. But people are what do they call it when you make I'd call it a script, as in code to make an LLM do and give you an answer,
Instructions.
you're training it? You're talking about the training? Well,
a word, there's a phrase or a word they use and they call that the input to an LLM.
The prompt,
that's it. So people are building these prompts and going, I had to refine my prompt to get it to do the right thing. And you read the whole thing and it's, this guy's just discovered programming, If you had done that from the start, you'd probably, a bit thought about it for yourself.
Well, is that post that did the rounds where somebody was talking about their use of LLMs and they said something like, often when I'm describing the problem to the AI, I don't even need to submit it because I work it out myself. And it's like, then the tag would like, AI bro discovers thinking.
Yeah.
I'll do my one where I think of I explain the one case of AI use that I found useful. And shameful admission here.
I've never touched them because I just...
No, I get you and you're right. But have you ever had a page of code or whatever that doesn't work and you don't have a fucking clue why? As in, like, you know there is like a semicolon where a colon should be or something ridiculous like that. It is actually quite good. Now, to be honest, Vim is also pretty good with its color coding where it does tend to sort that out. But sometimes with Vim...
My problem with this... is you're robbing yourself of the satisfaction. Even when it goes on far too long and it's something simple, that satisfaction you feel when you finally find it, it's like, oh my God, it was this all along. You're robbing yourself of that.
I guess so. I mean, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, but then I think maybe LLMs are like using it's too. You could. There are probably better ways of doing it.
Yeah,
than that anyway.
Yeah, there's some way to do that.
So it's just.
I mean, they are suited to that kind of thing. I mean, that is an example of something that if it were tailored for that, it would be more energy efficient. But that's the kind of problem that they're good at.
The thing is, right, like. I probably have less stronger feelings about the moral side of it and more stronger feelings about like the effect it has on sort of like society really because
that is moral.
That aspect of moral because one of the reasons like I'm not on basically any social media website apart from like Fedi anymore is because all of the content ended up either becoming AI or not knowing if it's AI or not, and I don't like playing that game.
We've talked about this, but I hate that feeling of anything you read now. You're like, part of your brain is occupied with is this LLM shit?
Reddit fired this one off so much in my brain because I remember reading, it was some inane post, right? So it wasn't even anything that mattered. And then I read it and I just sort of internalized it as what it was. And then some of the comments below go, I think this is AI. And then it just snapped. It was like, yes, of course it's AI because it's so, the story fits so much like a, a made up story. Like, there's no, like, you know, in real life, there's like awkward things, or when people write stuff, they add in details that aren't necessary. You know, like, there's a human color to it.
It is very much the Supreme Court with pornography thing. Like, you can't define it, but you know it when you, you know it when you see it. Kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and it was like, you know what? I don't trust myself on Reddit to be able to read something and know if it's LLM or not. Because by design, it's designed to impersonate language, not be language, but impersonate it. So it's like,
yes, it's designed to give you the sort of shape and feel of
And the better it gets, the more that shape and feel will be fooling.
I'm not going to call it getting better. I'd call it more convincing.
Yeah, more convincing. Yeah, there we go. That's a better way of saying it. And it's like, you know what? I think I should just take myself out of that pool. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a waste of my time. It's potentially like I could end up believing shite, you know, like it could end up fooling me in a way that's not as inane as it was.
I think one thing that's a slight concern is there's nothing to stop these things infecting Freddy. It's not my reason, but I think I've just pulled back. Apart from YouTube, that's my one vice. I've just stopped using all these big. I don't use any of the big websites anymore. For those reasons. Partly, I think communities should be human scale. I think Reddit was a mistake. I think you can't have a community that's that big and that open to every passing.
Yeah, Reddit was real people. If you've got 10,000 people chatting on a stream, on a stream chat,
that can't be community.
It's not even communication at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not communication. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. From the point of view of the, I mean, that is the parasocial thing, I think, is interesting in itself. From the point of view of the streamer, and you know, the big stream, the ones that have got that much going on in chat, they've got a producer who's feeding them the odd message to respond to. Yeah. So from their point of view, it works. But from the point of view of somebody typing in, it's the parasocial thing, isn't it? It works in a particular way, but it doesn't. It's absolutely not community, and it's not communication. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, even yesterday, you guys did a stream. And I was typing stuff, and obviously, and I was getting slightly. Oh, they're not noticing me. It's like, what the fuck am I talking about? They're not going to sit and watch the chat while they're trying to talk and trying to think about.
And
just a few lines in the chat, and it's like, of course they're not going to. You cannot concentrate.
And I hate, especially when it is a conversational podcast. When they do respond to too much in chat, I find that irritating. It breaks the flow of what I'm trying to watch as a viewer.
Yeah, and also you've got the thing of the delay. So, that's going to not land in there. Because I know for myself, like, which one are they talking? What are they talking about?
Yeah, what was that referring to? Yeah.
Because it's like a minute. And if you haven't noticed it right away as well, it could be like a couple of minutes. And it's like, there's no point in getting. So in the end, don't be such a child. Just let, enjoy what's going on. It's like people that are watching, not watching a concert but holding their phone up to the concert.
Are we?
That early phase of Instagram where it was all just pictures of people's food, and we all those, old people are like, we remember when we used to eat food?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, to be fair, out of all of the things. I have the problem with that one of the least now, to be honest. Pictures of food, yeah. Sometimes it's nice.
I mean, you literally, you sent me a picture of your breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
But that's different because it was part of a conversation and it's between friends. Like, just the idea of posting a picture of your meal to the world, I've always found that absurd. I find that fucking absurd.
Yeah, but you're an artist. You deal with the absurd regularly.
Not good absurd, bad. So
you got to think that the next stage of that then would be posting the poo that you have.
There are websites for that.
The two side by side. Here's
before
the
and after.
Here's how it came out. Yeah.
Well,
see, the sweet one was just.
Yeah. Do you know? I saw on YouTube, but this is YouTube, so like it was heavily censored. But apparently, if you eat nothing but corn for a while. You can just shit out corn.
I shat out just liver once. I feel like I've said this before on a podcast. I never know what I've said and haven't said before on a podcast.
But no, you've never said that before.
Okay. First of all, my mom, not my own liver, to be clear. My mom, I'm shat out my
thanks
own
for clearing mouth. That up.
So my mom makes very big portions. Okay, we were supposed to be having liver and onions for tea, which is something we both enjoy. Well, she enjoyed it more when she was alive, but we enjoy it very much. But she, I think she got a little bit sick or something. She didn't feel like her. She was just like, I'm just going to make you a double amount. And my mum's double amount was like, it was enough food for like 8 people. Yeah,
mum was a big portion person.
Yeah. So I was just eating this liver, and I was just, I don't like wasting food. So I was like full about a third of the way into it, but I was just forcing it in, forcing it in. The next day I went for a shit, and it was just, because I don't really chew. So it was just entire pieces of liver just coming out of completely undigested. Like, my stomach clearly couldn't handle how much liver I'd given it, and it was just entire pieces of liver coming out of my mouth.
That's frightening. I remember one I might have mentioned this on a stream before or different chat, but there was
that's not good. That's horrible.
Oh, no. I'm trying to drive the image away. But I had some, you know, those, they're not, well, they are crisps, but they're made out of different types of root vegetable, like parsnip. And I had a bag of them. And then, like, either later that day or the next day or whatever, my crap was blue. And no, that's the wrong way around. That's the red one. No, my crap was blue. And I thought, oh my God, there's blood in it. And it wasn't, it was beetroot. But I had the same thing with these crisps. They're sort of little conical things. And they're, I can't remember the brand or anything, but they're sort of a chili flavour, but the actual thing... I know what you mean. They're bright blue, you know, they're really bright blue.
I don't know.
And I forgot I had these, and the next day I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this? What's going on?
I've eaten too much copper.
Yeah. Oh my God. But anyway, do you want me to break it up with some of the... Let's forget about poop for a minute. I'm painting some new models for a friend of mine.
Oh, do I recognise that cool. one?
That's a rogue.
No, it is. It's a halfling rogue. That's why it's a bloody small.
Okay.
What is that attached to?
I thought it was small because it was a model.
Yeah, what's the blue?
A model. Very good. This is a painting...
It's a particular thing
on that's like magnetised, so you can rotate the... And you can put your, you can like that bit there is to sort of rest your fingers for steadiness.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's cool. Yeah, that's quite what's the model for?
Dungeons and Dragons, I think, this one.
Oh, nice.
Very small.
It's not mine, it's a
friend's. Halfling.
It's a halfling.
I mean, I know, but it's still, it's very, that's tiny.
Oh, no, that's because it's a model.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
You know why it's so small now? Because it's far away.
Ah, there we go. Dimensions. Yeah. Actually, speaking about Dungeons and Dragons, I yesterday spent most of the day playing Esoteric Ebb.
Ah, so you get good. No, I don't know what it is. It's a role playing.
It's really good. Yeah.
Do you reckon Hamish will like it, Drew? I reckon he will.
I've got all these computerized role playing games. Yeah. I always miss having a human interaction in a role playing game.
Have you seen much of Disco Elysium, the way it plays?
Not at all. I've heard the name. It was very briefly.
So Disco Elysium started this, and Esoteric Ebb is doing its own spin on it. But briefly, what happens is, so you make your character at the beginning, and so it has the usual. This one has the D&D stats, like Constitution, Strength, Wisdom, so on. And then when you're in conversation, you can converse with other characters. You can also kind of converse with a lot of objects and things and concepts. And during these conversations, your attributes will essentially chime in this conversation.
Your sense of strength or your sense of wisdom or your sense of charisma or intelligence, is that it? And constitution. These are all like aspects of your personality.
Some of it is roll, but like they'll roll, and if you succeed the roll, this is all in the background. So maybe there's an insight that your wisdom can have, and the wisdom does a roll, and if it hits the roll, it will have this insight, and if it misses the roll, it will say something stupid and wrong. Generally speaking, I think you're stronger. That it's not always roll based, and your stronger attributes will chime in more than your weaker ones. So it's like you're kind of having a conversation with all these aspects of your personality, as well as having a conversation with the other person. So they take the computer aspect and actually make it interesting.
It's so good. And it's very political as well. Like I'm role playing as this aggressively apolitical, but like sort of says what you want to say, what says what you want to cut, like a manipulator, there, you know, like a bullshit artist, a political bullshit artist. And
it's all written by one person, which I think helps. And I mean, it can never be as responsive as a human DM. There are 750,000 words in this game of writing. So it's like
gives it a lot more consistency as well. Mm. You know, you don't get a sudden jarring difference between the way that certain things act because
Exactly. And it's I'm playing through it, and I've watched a couple of little bits of other people playing it, including Chris. And because there's so much writing in it, and because of the way it works with the attributes, like the same situation can go like very differently depending on your choices and what aspects of your personality are chiming.
That was always the challenge with text adventures, was to give it
more options
you put in it, the less it plays the same. And
eventually
human spot patterns and
One thing that I think works very well in its favor, and I actually never really realized how much I appreciate this even more so than it did, because I thought Morrowind had it great, is that they don't voice the text. It's just the text just comes up as writing. And I realized that I actually really enjoy that for like a whole number of reasons. One of them is that you get through it a lot faster. You're not there waiting for someone to da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Even if they're talking, like, you can still read yourself, but it's when somebody's saying the same words to you, you can't get ahead. You just can't. And the number, when I looked at the Steam reviews and stuff, like, the number of people are going, like, my only criticism is it doesn't have voice acting. I don't think these people actually, I think they just say it because it's one of those things that people say, like, game is better with voice acting. If they thought it through, I don't think this is a matter of taste. I think we are objectively correct that in certain situations, no voice acting is better.
I wonder what they think when they're reading a book then.
Well, they probably listen to audiobooks, don't they?
Audiobook and the book at the same time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
when you guys, excuse my ignorance, but when you've got an audiobook, does somebody sort of do the voices and stuff as well? Or do they just read it on the flat?
It varies. My preference is when they just read it as if you were reading it. They don't do acting for the voices, but I think in recent years, I think a lot of people who are trained in acting have got, you know, and didn't make it in acting. They've gone into like audiobook reading, so they really like doing the voices, and it's fucking, the more they do the voices, the more I fucking hate it. Just please read the text. It's not a fucking play. The text is describing the person's character and blah, blah, blah. You don't need to put it in the voice as well. It's not a situation for acting.
You know, that's fine, but it's not, there's a lot more surrounding there. A little bit
to just differentiate the character, just a very slight hint of an accent or something, I don't mind, but when they go full on, like it's a fucking character and they're, you know, too much.
I can't stick with audiobooks. My mind wanders, and then I've like missed a paragraph. So I just
you really have to focus.
I was playing Magic: The Gathering, the card game, and somebody reads out a card. I don't know what it is, and they'll read it out, and I just cannot take that.
I get that.
I wish I'd realized this more when I was at school as well. That you could tell, you know, the teacher can tell me 100 times something, and I'm just not going to get it. It's not the way my brain takes in information. But if they, you know, if they show you, that's just got me angry. But I'm in my 50s, and I'm angry with something that happened 40 years ago, and that is maths class. In the maths class, they used to tell you something, like obviously there's 20 or 30 kids or whatever in a class. They tell you something, they'd go a few examples on the board, and then they'd sit, you know, these books we had. I suspect Chris got better books after us. Basically, all the maths books were there was no explanation. That was expected to come from the teacher, and it was like 50 of the same question. With different numbers in it. And it's like, if you don't get it once, how are you going to get it 50? You know,
yeah.
If you don't get the concept, you can't get. It doesn't click.
No, absolutely.
Doing it 30 times with different numbers.
I think especially back then, like people just didn't know how to teach. It was just like, this is the best idea we've got.
Yeah, well, actually...
I want to say, before we move on from audiobooks, one thing that frustrates me is we could potentially be in, like, a golden era, because I used to love radio plays. We could be in a golden era for radio plays. They would be incredibly cheap to produce. All you got to do is pay the actors, right? There's no special effects, there's no graphics, there's nothing. Why aren't there more radio? Like, we would call them something else, but just audio plays. I would love that.
Well, I just thought there would be by now. You know, because
I mean, I'm sure they exist, but not certainly as any kind of mainstream. Because it's like podcasts are clearly immensely popular.
Yeah.
Which very much emulate the talky parts of radio, obviously.
Yeah.
Why aren't radio? You know, there's tons of creative writers out there frustrated. Mm. You know, with not much work. Like, just make radio plays.
Yeah. Also, actually, speaking of this, isn't in my head this made sense as a link, right? But me and Rosie looked up what Traitors was today.
Oh, no, Rosie.
I went to her grave and we were talking, and she she looked up because we never seen Traitors. I'm assuming you haven't seen Traitors either because it's a TV program. No. So neither of us, and a lot of people, normies, talk about it. So we googled it up, and apparently it's a game show that is exactly like Blood on the Clock Tower, but like done in person with a set and everything else like that. Like, exactly. Like, they have totally ripped off Blood. I'm assuming Blood on the Clock Tower came first.
I don't know. I watch some channels that do Blood on the Clock Tower as like in a studio with blah, 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 blah.
Oh, they have that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's not
hosted by Claudia Winkleman by any chance, is it?
No, it's not. So is it exactly the same kind of game?
Well, according to the synopsis that we read online, it's like bang to right. So basically, you've got
an easy thing to clone. You just rolls.
They use different language, but like you've got an undisclosed number of like bad people, traitors, I think they're called, and then you've got the rest of goodies. They spend days talking to each other. The baddies have to meet up because they then decide to kill one of the goodies every night.
These are all derivations of like werewolf and what's the other one? What's the other one? Mafia.
So
Blood on the Clock Tower is a novel.
But I was thinking, because Blood on the Clock Tower would also make quite a good audio play.
Well, I was just about to tell you. Yeah. I'm reading the Wikipedia page, and there's a stage show version of Blood on the Clock Tower.
Really?
A live theater version, yeah.
With singing?
Not musical theater, I hope.
Oh, okay, all right.
I generally hope that not musical theater, full stop, generally. But I was just looking. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, it's almost a sort of LARP thing, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. It's role play. I think gaming is really interesting at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't mean video gaming necessarily, but gaming, like, you know, with the resurgence in board games and people's interest in tabletop RPGs and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot come back, yeah. The Traitors, is that the wrong one?
It's got Claudia Winkleman.
There's interesting things happening at the intersection of, like, you know, video games, tabletop RPGs, board games, like all sort of like bits that are...
Because has basically social media been burned now, and people are looking for like social ways to sort of better avenues of social interaction? Because if you think about it, like, what's Twitter become? Awful. What's Reddit become? Awful. What's Facebook become? Double awful. Like, all of this is
all.
It's all awful. And I think most people realize that. Most people know that. That's why, like, I don't know about you, but when I'm out there in normie land, like, the only people that are on social media, it's boomers on Facebook. That's all. Like,
yeah, I think so. Well, and the political class on Twitter, basically. Like,
do they still use Twitter?
Politicians? I think so. Laura Koonsberg and all MPs, I think, probably still think Twitter is the universe.
I see MPs doing the blue sky thing. I mean, not that that's particularly better.
Just do it as a bridge to Twitter, though.
Okay.
But having said that, on a good, this is slightly better than just a bot copying it over. Some people like Zach
Polanski.
Yeah, Zach Polanski and a few others have like an X, you know, mirror, but they have a contact information on it.
Okay.
You can contact, so they're doing it, so it's not just a bot copying the messages, but that you can reply to a managed account that manages a lot of different people's bot accounts, if that makes sense. But to be fair, or to be unfair, to be annoyed by him slightly, there are lots of actual Green politicians, you know, Green Party members and politicians on the Fediverse as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Zach Polanski follows me on Fedi.
It's not him, though.
No. Mastodon.green. That's the one, that's the real him.
Are you sure? Because Mastodon, there's an e.eu thing, which is the actual official...
No. I think, yeah. He's got like a mirror account, but he's also got one that he hasn't like posted to in a while, which he should post to.
Mastodon got a green one.
Yeah.
Also, that's my point. Yeah, they won't use it. They, you know.
I mean, to be fair, like, it's hardly outreach. Like, if you it'd be nice, but like, it's not effective to his role. If that makes sense.
No. Yeah. I think that's absolutely right. Yeah.
No, least because he's already made his case to people on the Fedi. Like, he's just singing. Yeah. He's either singing to the choir.
Yeah.
Or he's like preaching to people that have decided that they're not him for whatever reason. You know.
Yeah.
Because actually, I found out in the Senate, not to get too political. I don't want to get too political, but I found out in the Senate election there are like six socialist parties running. It's like
that's wow. Good.
Well, I say so. Well, yeah. Because even the Communist Party says that they're putting forward a socialist manifesto. So like. You know,
communism is a subset of socialism.
For those reasons.
I knew we were going to get any definitions very quickly there.
But you know,
to take us off politics, I recently remembered that Maryland cookies are a thing,
and they do vegan.
So on my weekly shoppings, well, I've got knockoff Maryland cookies that are 40p a pack, but fucking not had them for so long, and they're fucking great.
The chocolate chip.
Yeah, little chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, crunchy, like properly not because I'm probably on record as I fucking you know cookies now. Somebody says I got you a cookie and it's soft and bendy.
That's not
a
cookie. Why are they so soft? No.
Well, if I want soft and gooey, I'm gonna go for a brownie because that does that way better. Like, why do I want a ruined cookie, an undercooked cookie?
Biscuit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rosie loves her soft cookies.
You what, sorry?
Rosie loves her soft cookies.
Well, you're going to have to educate her.
Yeah, it's going to be teach her something.
Get the strap out.
I you know how I was talking about getting slightly annoyed when you guys weren't responding to me on the thing yesterday? Yeah. I did a post on the Fediverse last night, when quite late on, but I was so proud of it. Proud of it. And I was like sitting there going, nobody's... eventually got a couple of people, including a couple of much bigger followers. People than me, so it got out there a wee bit.
What was the post? I don't really go on Fedi anymore. What was the post?
Right, the post. Somebody had posted a picture of LeVar Burton in it, basically. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. LeVar Burton today, and I just quote posted it because it wasn't about the post, but it was about the picture. So I quote posted it saying, "Oh, I wasn't sure if this is LeVar Burton at first. He's got older and grayer, and his hairline's receded a bit. And then, oh yeah, and he doesn't have a spray painted hairband across his eyes." Especially late last night.
That's good social media, that is.
That is.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah. I do quite like the Fedi, but I think you are a bit right there that there's nothing to stop it becoming
which is the problem. It's what, you know, the kernel's been taken over by corporations. Like, there's just nothing to stop. The GPL kind of encourages it because it encourages you to take on, you know, as opposed to the BSD. Sorry, I interrupted you, but yeah, there's nothing to stop corporate
AI takeover of it. Because I still remember Hive Day when Hive tried to come in, like, it's about 5 years ago now, and just like everyone just chased them off, full pitchforks and everything off the Fedi.
And what's Hive? His name?
Oh, Hive was
Wesley,
like
Wesley Crusher
a thingy thing.
It was like somebody trying to make a pay for version of Fedi, wasn't it?
Hive was basically tried to make a corporate version
source.
Corporate Fedi instance.
Like they were using ActivityPub, but I think it was a closed source code base and a
it was a closed source fork or something. I can't remember entirely, right. But like
I think it found it.
Yeah, and they lasted all but a day, which is great.
That is great, yeah.
Hey, what's up? Oh, cool.
She's
going
to come explain herself.
She's just getting a PlayStation controller.
Soft, bloody.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull a soft cookie.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you? Yeah, she's run off. See, she's ran off.
Yeah. Scared of the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. Another lib destroyed by
truth and logic and facts. Yeah, yeah.
Of men. Men
by men and facts and hard man cookies.
It should be hard.
Hard.
Like, what penis used to be when I was young.
Oh my word. I do, because also of course we've got age verification shit now, which Wing pointed out, and I'm dead certain this is the case now. I think it was Wing, that in reality, age verification is just to make sure that everyone on the internet's verified so that we know who's an AI and who's not, so that they can advertise to people and not AI.
He linked
to that argument, yeah, which is, I hadn't thought of it. I don't think that's their motivation, but it's
banked to rights.
Nice,
no, it's banked to rights. I mean, there are politicians in the middle that don't know their ass from their elbow in this type of field.
I think their motivation is ultimately just surveillance. They just want everybody ID'd. Yeah. That's what they want. But the ad thing, I think, is a nice side
benefit. Children, that's for sure, you know, because that's... Well, if it was, then Twitter would be banned as soon as they started giving a machine for undressing children.
Yeah, well, they also need to work out what's okay and what's not okay for children, because there's so much new stuff on the internet that it's all up in the air. Is Twitter okay for children, or is... Well, that's, you know,
it's like saying that, you know, kids can watch films, or any film, you know.
Yeah.
And just never thinking about things age ratings.
I mean,
you know,
thing whatever. Is, we like, as Gen Xers, that's kind of how it was when we were kids, yeah. And that's kind of how I think about media. I think that's between the parents and the kids.
Yeah, when video came out, we could just watch it.
Yeah, watch fucking everything, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably saw Alien for the first time when I was about 12.
I think younger than that with a lot. I saw some fucking horrific stuff in my... 7, 8, 9, you know, like
the video nasties, as they called them at the time. There was a lot of that.
Yeah, and look at us, we've grown up perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, Total Recall was my first look at boobs, and there was three of them, so that was a win.
He's a young man,
yeah. I was like, oh my god, do all women have three boobs?
They've got that hidden one.
I remember old man story, but it was. Back in the 80s, I couldn't have been older than, 9. I think my sister was 6. My other sister probably a bit. But it was, Saturday night or something, and a film came on that was kind of interesting. It was, but it was past our bedtime, but my parents were like, this film looks cool. As a treat, we'll let you stay up and watch this film. And it was a war film, like Nazis, blah, blah, blah. But about 20 minutes in, it got into, weird, psychosexual torture and stuff. I remember there's a bit we always joked about afterwards, but there's a bit where this Nazi is chopping carrots, and then I swear this is my memory from long ago, so something like this, but this dude's dick was attached to the chopping board, so she was chopping the carrots chop chop chop, and she was saying chop 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 chop, and then she chops his penis chop 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 chop. And at this point I think me and my sister were I think we'll go to bed now. I think it's probably for the best, yeah, but we always joked about the chop chop chop.
Oh my god. I can't say I've ever seen that film.
Tall,
no, I don't know what the fuck that was. No. Sorry?
Oh, I saw a film.
You're already talking to me, Hamish.
Say again, buddy.
Your audio is ducking. When the rest of us talk, your audio is ducking for me. And I don't know if it's a Discord.
Is it a Discord thing? Because he's ducking for me as well.
But you and I aren't ducking.
No.
So if we talk, your volume for us goes down to 0. I don't know if that's coming. If Chris is recording this, then this will come across.
Ducking hell.
I wonder if...
See, I always think Hamish is too complicated. It's too complicated. He's got all these gadgets. And string. And...
Look at my fancy new microphone, though.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Chris sent me a fancier microphone.
And you've managed to find a way to make it not get in your way?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in the same position
as
the...
Am I coming in constantly now?
I think it's... Yeah.
I know what it was. It was just... It wasn't anything of mine. It was fucking...
Discord.
The compatibility thing on whatever the sound system's called these days to make it compatible with the shitty one that broke everything.
Pipe wire.
Yeah, it was pipe wire whatever the... What was the one before, between pipe wire and...
Pulse audio.
Pulse audio. Yeah, it's the pulse audio compatibility thing, switching stuff to come through. So you guys were coming through onto my onto the complicated system, as you put it, that was coming through that, and it shouldn't
be. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So when I had a look at the connections, it had made a connection that shouldn't be there, and I've saved it 100 million times, but it still puts the fucking thing back on. Pulse audio compatibility is to automatically have two channels connecting on either end.
What operating system are you on these days, Hamish?
GNU Linux.
Yeah, which distro?
Yeah. Arch. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're all on Arch. Arch seems to
be
the
best. I've been on Arch for a few years now, yeah. Although, I don't know. Of course, you just said you're not on the ferry that much anymore, Drew, but you probably, if you were, you'd have noticed there's a lot of BSD interest at the moment. Excuse me.
Yeah, I followed a few BSD people, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people trying out BSD because of all the carry on with people trying to mess with the Linux kernel to put age verification and shit into it and things like that.
Yeah. When I'm convinced that BSD can run games almost as well as Linux.
That's probably it as for me is just some games.
Yeah, I'll be on BSD because Linux is becoming popular and that's a problem.
You only have to look at. I was going to name a desktop system there, and I'm not going to get into that.
Do it. No. I want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because I know one of you uses it.
Well, no, I use Arch.
No, the desktop I was talking about.
The desktop.
Which one?
No, GNOME.
Yeah, no, neither of us use.
No, we don't use GNOME.
I thought you used GNOME. I thought Chris used GNOME. Sorry, I'm pointing enough. Forget you can't see how we're laid out.
You thought I used GNOME?
I don't even call it
GNOME.
It just seemed like the kind of twat who would use GNOME. That's all I'm saying.
I thought a while ago you'd said you were trying out GNOME again and you'd stuck.
Like 10 years ago.
Oh, maybe. I'm going wrong. Well, the point is, it's a fucking awful thing. And it's become, they basically want to do the same thing that Apple have done and absolutely control everything and not give you any options.
That's true.
And
that's
how it works now and people get Linux and the desktop, obviously, for very obvious reasons. They get the two of them conflated in their head. So people are trying that out and going, it's kind of like Apple.
You can't change anything. I agree with all that, and I hate that philosophically it's locked down. It's antithetical to what I think of as Linux. But if Tyler's like were deleted overnight and Window Maker, I probably use GNOME
because XFCE is the best.
Over KDE, where you've got the option to put things the way you want them.
KDE is too far the other way for me.
It's too much configuration.
Of shit I don't care about. Don't give me options for shit.
I think the problem that happened around about the end of the KDE3's life.
Never. It's good.
Around about the end of KDE3's life, they started using this modern configuration interface.
Yeah.
And that just, it used to be sort of very technical and understandable. Yeah. But now it's all sort of touchy feely. This seems like a graphical thing. Let's put these things.
It's gone woke.
I do like the GNOME approach, and they've had this for years. This isn't a shell thing, but the GNOME approach of in the settings, when you change the setting is changed. There's no like confirm or okay or apply. I always hate that in games too, when it's like you change a setting, that should change the setting. I shouldn't have to apply.
Yeah, I think that's the Mac way as well.
It's been so long. But what happens?
It's a long time since I touched.
I don't know. Like it's been so long. I mean, I'm used to that way. Old man don't like change.
It does surprise me that I haven't at some point tried out that KDE3 continuation thing.
Oh, Trinity.
It does surprise me that I never tried it. But I think it seems like an awful lot of effort to keep it going.
Mm.
Because you're still trying to use modern software.
I've got an idea for the next Space Virgins.
Are we still calling it that?
Yeah. I love the name. I love the name. we should do one of these after using GNOME for an entire day. Like I was going to say a week. I think a week might be pushing it, but for an entire day,
hang on. We need. But the thing is, I have got my operating system just as I like it.
Right, I think that's the other problem. Yeah, the other problem, the big ones, is that they'd mess with system settings, not just their own settings.
Yeah, no, that's
they treat the whole system like their config.
Yeah.
To be fair, GNOME does that less than KDE. Last time I tried KDE out, because I try them both out every now and then, I can't remember what it fucked with, but it fucked with something fundamental that took me days to track down.
The problem is that if you're not using one or the other of them, your consistency is almost impossible to get. And that's the one thing I do miss when I'm using a Tiler or Window Maker or whatever, is because they use a widget set, and that widget set goes beyond its remit, you end up with stuff that looks completely different, you know?
I use so little software that uses widgets now. Like, it's web browser, which does its own thing anyway. Discord, which does its own thing anyway. Steam, which does its own thing anyway. So the other things are just like my color picker, and I can't even think what the other one is. So I've just uninstalled all GTK themes and icon sets, and I just go with, it looks like Windows 98 when one pops up now, but I'm fine, I don't care.
The problem is I use quite a lot of different, because I use a lot of, I've got a lot of audio software, I've got a lot of, for the 3D printer, I've got, different graphics software, and then the slicer thing for the printer itself. And it just annoys me that everything looks different. I'm sitting here now looking at, I've only got four or five windows open, including obviously this one, and it looks completely different to the browser. It looks completely different to my other.
Well, the thing is, I remember when I first came to Linux, that really bothered me, like the inconsistency between applications. But these days, I think we're just used to that. Like I say, because Steam does its own thing, Chrome does, Discord does its own thing, browsers do their own thing. I think we're used to applications looking.
Yeah, I'm fine with applications looking different. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm very much on the I don't care about the widgets anymore now. The only although one thing I will say, right, because I use Kden Live a decent amount for editing videos.
Kden Live's another one, yeah. That's probably the one. Kden Live's probably the one that made my inconsistencies most noticeable, because you need quite a lot of KDE stuff to run it, obviously.
Yeah, I was looking at installing KDE as a native application, because like that kind of makes sense. I use it a decent amount. I assume I would get the best performance if I installed it natively. Maybe that's not the case, I don't know. Not that I need to worry about that. So I had a look, and then I looked through all the dependencies, and it wanted fucking things like KDE Connect. It's on.
I just app image it for that.
App image,
otherwise, you're installing off of fucking KDE to install it.
I admit. But the thing is, though, I will, because of that, I do tend to just install KDE. You know, there's the whole bucket gets tipped into the computer, and then I know everything else is going to work.
The whole bucket.
Yeah, but then getting GTK stuff or things that you like, shit like this that uses web browser, as a web interface. Discord's just a web browser. I mean, not web browser, but it's Google.
No, it is literally web browser. Yeah.
And so is something else around here. Since I've got the 4K screen as well, I'm pointing all over the place because it's like, what?
Too many pixels for me, I got to be honest.
It's difficult for text. But I'm not one of these people that will scale things either. I'd rather just make the font bigger on a specific application than try and scale the whole thing.
I don't like the idea of scaling.
Because what I do, for example, when I'm doing the streams, like on a Tuesday night music stream, right? I'll open up the popped out chat window, if you like, because you don't have to look at the whole stream. You can just get the chat. So I'll put in the URL for the chat, so that I can see what's going on in the tip chat. And then I'll just control plus or whatever it is to make it 150% so I can read it.
That's reminding me of a frustration that I'm sure we all have. Fucking websites now, when you've got a website with an image and you just want to zoom in to look at the image better. And you zoom in.
It changes everything,
Oh, no. You zoom in and everything gets bigger, but the image gets smaller. Like, that literally fucking, like, things like Instagram. The image will actually get smaller. It's fucking infuriating.
I've not seen that. Well, if Instagram's your example, then I don't even know.
Instagram is like poison. But also, there's an add-on for Firefox that I actually really use. For some reason, it's one of those things that you sort of installed on a whim ages ago, and you've actually kept using it. It's called Behind! Exclamation mark.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It allows you to.
And it shows you the bums of anybody's picture that you're seeing.
Exactly. Yeah. If an image or a video comes up in your browser, you right click or shift right click if you need to, and then it will show you all of the images and layers behind it, so that if you're saving an image but there's like something on top of it and it's being obfuscated, it allows you to see an image on a website or a video on a website as a video, as it should be, as a video file.
You can download
it or blow it up, or you know,
it gets around all the things they do to prevent you actually looking at the image or being Maryland cookies.
Maryland cookies. Cookies.
She ran off. She didn't want to face us.
Ran off with the PlayStation.
We should bake her a hard cake.
Man's cake.
It looks like a sponge cake.
Exactly. Yeah. Crunch.
Yeah.
Or a pancake that's solid.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks good. Kink. Knife break.
Yeah. Also, actually, one of the questions I'd like to ask you a little bit, because I've changed my password workflow. I've gone from, I sometimes every now and then dip back into using Vault Warden to manage my passwords. Are you familiar with Vault Warden?
Bitwarden is the one I've got.
Yeah,
it's laziness that I haven't bothered to change.
Yeah,
to
well, also it syncs with the phone relatively easily. So if I'm away out and about and I need to log into something, then having my up to date set of passwords just available to me.
I use pass, which is the command line one. Mm-hmm. I tried to use that
and I couldn't quite get it to work. I can't get
my head around it. Yeah.
I like it, and by default it just obviously saves the passwords on your system, but you can do pass git push, and you can set up a git repo and it will push to that git repo, and there's an Android application that can pull from that git repo, so it is usable.
I wouldn't trust that though. That's why I don't do a lot of things on my phone.
It's all GPG encrypted.
But the phone's operating system is hacked. It's a backdoor.
Oh, in that sense. Many things that
Google respects your privacy, blah 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 blah, and then suddenly something that you've got on your phone and what seems to be, you know, a separate and supposedly encrypted thing, suddenly you're getting things in your, you know, in the googly bits that look very much like seen that, you know.
In terms of security, I don't think there's any way of syncing your password.
Yeah, but like, I mean, a lot of stuff I use for security, it's just work stuff. And if I get hacked, then...
I understand why people use the phone.
My defense is I've used all the procedures and all that kind of thing. You know, as long as I've been sensible, that's enough, you know. But I've changed, sort of rereading Drew's blog post about fuck web services, it has kind of got me back on the... Yeah, I don't, you know, they always seem to get in shitified. And then I found out the other day on the other freebooters, like literally live, that Newsblur, the RSS online service reader, which I really liked, that ended up becoming in shitified. And I thought that was just run by one bloke with a passion. And now suddenly it's got all this tiered pricing and weird limitations on all these different tiers. And it's like, and you know what? It's not specifically better. The only thing that it has is that you can sync across multiple devices. But you know what? What I read on the desktop and what I read on the phone are probably different anyway, you know? It's like... So I just go...
I don't understand RSS services. I just... Isn't RSS just a simple thing and you just use an app?
It's simple in the name.
You use a program that you know... makes a list of things that you've got an RSS connection with. Yeah. I don't understand all these complicated things that people seem to be put. Oh, this is the best way to organize your RSS. It's like, no, I just want a list of what I'm RSS following.
I do see it from. I mean, you and I are unique in this, but But people who have, you know, home computer, laptop, phone, work computer, you know, like wanting, then putting it on the web so you can just access it from anywhere and get the same stuff. I get that. Not for me. And like Chris says, I think there's things you read in different contexts.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be synced. Anyway. If I'm not like at risk of reading two things at the same time. Like it's like, and if I did, well, boo hoo. So it is definitely over engineering.
We are one for each eye.
Yeah, because I was looking at, was it Tiny RSS or something like that, or Tiny RSS, which is like a host your own web service that does all that. And I was reading through the manual, and it's like, oh, you got to set up your... Well, first of all, I think that I could only find the instructions for the Docker, so I was like, oh, fuck that. But then I was reading through, and it's like, oh, you got to do this YAML thing to set up the database. Da, da, da. It's like, you know what? This is RSS. I got bored, and I just was like, you know what? Yeah, I've got an app on the phone. I've got Newsboat on the desktop. It's fine. Don't need any... If you need to organize your feed,
it's not even that big a hassle to go like, oh, I added this thing on my desktop. I need to remember to add that on my phone and then add it on your phone. Like,
yeah,
it's not that big. I think, yeah. What was I thinking about? There was something I was thinking about this in relation to, but like, oh, when you know when I made my my ratings list that we were looking at when we were talking about yesterday, the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I pulled that data from Tract, and then I was like, should I make each of the titles linked to IMDb? Because that's, you know, that's what you would do in that situation. You'd make it so they all link to IMDb or Rotten Tomato, you know, whatever. And then I was like, no, I can copy and paste. we don't need to automate that fucking hard for things you're going to do very rarely. I can just select that text and, you know, search IMDb for it. I think we go over the top with...
A lot of websites are just like that as well. It's like you click on something thinking you're clicking a link within the site, and suddenly you're being launched to say for example it's something about films, then boom, you click a link and oh yeah, suddenly you're on the IMDb page for that film. It's like, no, I thought you were giving me more
code repository websites, like the button to copy the text. Like I'm capable of pressing Control A, Control C.
Like,
I don't need a button.
I pushed the button.
Young people see.
So I also
buttons that are getting pushed, or a dirty pusher of buttons?
In this case,
oh baby, I love your dirty buttons.
I had a thought when we were talking about reading two things at once, right? So you know, you could VR goggles, like one text here, one text there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know the bicameral the bicameral brain stuff, where if you sever the connection between the two halves of the brain, they basically operate independently. Like you can you can show this, you still operate as one brain. Details might be wrong, but you can show this eye one thing and this half of the brain will see it, and this and the other half of the brain won't remember seeing it because that half of the brain didn't see it, kind of thing. So if you could sever the connection between your two halves of the brain, each eye could read something different and then reconnect, would your brain remember having read both?
Are you sure it's not if you cut your brain in half if you get told something, one half of the brain will get it, and if you read something, the other half of the brain will get it.
No. Okay. It's this eye is connected to that half of the brain. This eye is. So if you literally shutter and show, if you just show it normally, both halves of the brain will see it, and you will remember seeing it. But if you show this eye, then that half. I can't remember the details, but something like. Related to an interesting thing I read about.
So what if somebody's lost one eye or lost the sight in one eye? Then does that start filing things differently in the brain?
Two halves of the brain are still connected.
Fair point.
Yeah, but there's this thing called, it's called something blindness, and I can't remember the word, but basically, and again, not a neurobiologist or whatever the fuck, so pinch us all. This is factually accurate.
Well, you've been stringing us along for a very long time then.
I'm actually a biological neurobiologist.
Didn't he show us a certificate at one point saying he was a neurobiologist?
What was that TED talk he gave?
I mean, it was in Pyro. That should have been a clue. I think it's called sight blindness, right? So apparently, when your eye is connected to your optic nerve, and your optic nerve actually enters the brain in two different places. It enters the brain in the bit of the brain that deals with making visual pictures based on the information that's coming through the optic nerve, and it also goes separately into a deeper part of the brain, like the more.
Well, your eyes are compound. It's evolved as a compound device. It's not.
Yeah. But this It goes into two separate parts of the brain. That's the important thing. And there are certain kind of brain injuries where the former one, the optic nerve to the visual cortex or whatever it's called, that can be severed, but the other one isn't severed. So you are blind. When you look, you just see blackness. You have no picture of what you are seeing. But if you take such a person and put them in a room with obstacles, they will navigate around the obstacles. And then at the end of that, you ask them why they made the choices they made. You know what they were doing. They don't know. They're just like, it just felt right.
Oh wow.
Which is really fucking interesting.
Well, like, because they hear it? Are other senses kind of working?
No, because it's going in. That bit from the optic nerve to the deeper part of the brain is still intact.
So kind of like, well, I was going to say kind of like peripheral vision, but that's bollocks. That's to do with lenses. And
yeah, no. Vision-wise, they are completely blind, 100% blind, but they can still, and if you throw a ball at them, they will catch it. And you ask them, why did you do that? And they're like, oh, I had a feeling kind of thing, which is really interesting, right?
That's baffling. Hang
on. Bluff.
Apparently, is it late 1800s, early 1900s, where they were doing like these mad psycho experiments, right? Where I think they were like trying to treat epileptic children by cutting their brain in half, which is why we know a lot of this stuff about severing the brain.
Some horrible things went on.
We did some messed up shit. But apparently, like, if you sever the brain in half, you have like two personalities. Your brain sort of functions as two whole brains. So you have like...
That's the bicameral thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, where you can... But apparently, also, side note, apparently it did do something to treat epilepsy. Cut the brain off. Just
try it at home.
Yeah, try it. There we go. Have you got
this
an
all right medical podcast?
Tell us how it went.
Yeah,
both opinions.
Although, interestingly enough, over the years, I have got more than a few invitations to trial out surgical equipment as like part of a YouTube promotion, which is raises questions.
I should take those off and cut your food with them or whatever.
I've definitely thought about it, but I thought that's kind of questionable on a number of are there surgeon influencers?
I love the idea of like 10 distro reviews and then best catheter you'll ever use.
Yeah,
it's like nicely rendered.
But I'm just like, are they like surgeon influencers? It's like, what's up, fam? Today we're going to be trying the scalpel.
Well, it's America. It's going to be America where all of this stuff is privatized, and then they like have drug company reps and like it's and surgical equipment reps. I'm sure going around.
Yeah. There probably is. Like, you know, we make the best scalpels. Whatever, you know.
We make the best scalpels. Oh, I've got to check that now.
Go on. What's the?
No way. That's taken.
Well, penisland.net is so.
Yeah.
It's not. It can't be reached. That's free. We can grab that.
I used to grab all sorts of domain names, but they got more expensive, and it was like getting really silly trying to remember, you know, how to pay for them all. Mm. I'm actually thinking about dropping one of my servers for that reason as well, but I need to check the loads on them. And see.
I've recently moved over to Mythic Beasts for my domain registrar, and they're actually.
Well, I just registered with my ISP, not my ISP, my server company, you know, server host.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mythic Beasts, I think.
It's instantly linked to your, you know, to one of your IP addresses, then you can just.
Mythic Beasts do hosting. I've got the hosting for freebooters on, is it Hetzner?
Hetzner's quite popular. Yeah,
they've been.
Are they American though?
I thought they're German.
Are they all right? Sorry, or yeah, Hetzner. Mine's is German. Yeah, the company as they've got.
I don't know
in the UK.
I think Mythic Beasts is a UK company, and their domains are like really quite like affordable and cheap. But also like they're not in shitified as a company. And they do hosting. I haven't tried out the hosting yet, but it seems like relatively reasonably priced too.
Hosting by humans, it says.
Yeah. And is that Hetzner or Mythic Beasts?
Mythic Beasts.
Mythic Beasts, yeah. And people...
Yeah, UK-based hosting backed by 100% human support.
Ah, excellent. But a lot of people I know in like the Fosse world in UK use Mythic Beasts, so it's always been something that I've kind of meant to try out, and I tried it out. And yeah, they're pretty solid. They don't add many bells and whistles to their gear. Like, you buy domain registration, you get domain registration, which, you know, sort of makes sense. So you don't get like wacky stuff like email forwarding or free inboxes or anything like that. You get what you pay for. But it is pretty cheap, and you can get like a .co.uk or something, a domain. I don't know, like, it's still like £5 a year or something like that. So
yeah, the problem that you usually have is storage.
As in, like, what, for hosting?
For hosting, all the companies I've tried or looked at seem to charge an awful lot for storage. Right, here we go. And of course, they always do it in a... Well, I was just looking at Mythic Beasts one, and it's very similar to the one I'm on, is it's a tiered thing. So it's not like, here, tell us what you want. If you want to build something yourself, it becomes complicated. They do it, but it's like, oh, no, right, okay, this, it somehow works out more expensive than if you just pick one of the presets. But the presets tend to be... they all tend to be a similar thing, and so you, if you want a certain amount of storage, you've then got to buy a more and more powerful, bigger amount of RAM.
What a lot of people seem to do is get like Hetzner or whatever for the you know, just the VPS, and then just go to a storage provider for the storage, like a cheap storage provider.
See, this is one of the things I've been thinking about with the video server, is getting some sort of storage provider and integrating it to that instead. But even then, they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
If you want I mean, this is the other thing. There's a lot of stuff out there that is cheap, but their uptime is not good.
Mm.
You know, and if you look at them, whereas the one I'm with what used to be 1&1, what they call now, Ionos.
Oh.
They're not the best. Yeah, they're not the best, but they are fucking reliable. Oh, absolutely rock solid reliable. And I get unlimited bandwidth on so many 100 gigabit or whatever thing. So if you go to one of my servers, it's not going to be down, you know.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and the throughput for like streaming and stuff is excellent.
Okay. I mean,
it used to be that you rented a server, and obviously nobody does. Yeah, people do that, but they charge an arm and a leg for it. Now you rent a virtual server on their farm.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Just out of interest. Do you prefer bells or whistles?
Bells. Whistles are just shrill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer bells.
I'll go bells. Largely, well, yeah, bells is a nice sound. Also, I love the
train whistles.
The carol. Okay. There's Carol of the Bells, which is amazing. I love that. But the exceptions, I was going to say the one exception is penny whistles, which I think sound really nice. And I would also agree. Train whistle.
Is a penny whistle like those old things that police used to have?
No, it's like a recorder, but thinner.
Very small recorder.
Like folk music and Irish music.
Like. I don't mind police whistles.
Is a flute technically a whistle?
No, it's a woodwind instrument.
Well, if a penny whistle is a whistle, then the recorder is a whistle, and then a flute is just a sideways recorder.
Depends on
flute's more complicated, doesn't it? Doesn't the flute have vowels?
A flute doesn't have a reed. Like, so I would say, as soon like an oboe, a clarinet, they've got a reed. I would say that's a different category. But if it's just air pressing over a shape.
Yeah, well, you've got I forgot the word for it. But you've got to get your lips right, haven't you?
Purse your lips.
Oh, yeah.
Eh? What's that?
Purse your lips.
No, but there's a word for it. Like,
I know that. Yeah.
Biss your lips.
I don't know why flute is in woodwind, to be honest. It's fine. Saxophone is as well.
Well, that has a reed.
That has a reed. Big reed.
Yeah. So the reed is. But I think I would say a flute is a whistle. But then there's a trumpet, a whistle.
It's in woodwind group and it's an edge blown aerophone.
Well, the difference between brass is that you go with your lips. You don't blow it. You spit into it.
Do that again. I want that as my notification sound. Genuinely, I love it. I used to be able to do a really good muted trumpet, but I don't know if I can do it anymore.
Oh, there's a freaking word for it. I can't find it.
Sorry, I want to just get back to Hamish's hosting setup because I'm a little bit curious.
I'm actually the subject from boring server stuff, you cunts. Fine, go on. I'll get back to flat out too.
Right, it's all right. I just kind of want to ask because
it's got a point, and yeah,
But on
no. Go on. Okay, go on. we know our audience.
On the Freebooters server, right? We host podcasts, MP3s. For compatibility reasons, I would love to go Opus, but it's just like there's always, you always find edge cases where Opus just isn't supported for stupid reasons. So we got MP3s, which, and we got quite a lot of like airtime, like content, media, whatever you want to call it, sounds. So for the 40 gig that we get on our Hetzner basic package, we've got, you know, All You Can Talk podcast, basically.
You can talk.
We've got the Owncast streaming, which obviously doesn't take up much in the way of space, but I don't think we've ever had any sort of issues with getting that working. And obviously all the text you can type, right? So that's kept, and we're not really even that like maxed out.
I would say on a basic VPS with like 50 gigs of storage or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what,
well, we've got 40, yeah.
Yeah, but you can essentially, that is infinity storage for virtually anything except video. As soon as you go to video, it's whoop,
yeah. So I was kind of, yeah, I was ramping up to that because with Hetzner spoiler, but with Hetzner you can also get like an extra, you can get little extra like what you call them, like things that you mount, like storage blocks or things.
Yeah.
So you can get like 40 gigabytes of storage. You just mount it as a partition device, you know, whatever. And then you just crack on with it like that. And it's relatively reasonably priced within the realms of like, you know, we're talking 100 gig or whatever, you know, like it's you know, when you get bigger, you start getting, you know, bigger.
The problem in this respect with IONOS,
yeah,
is that anything out with their, because obviously they want it to be as automated as possible,
yeah,
and anything out with their click and choose this thing and that's it done, it gets more expensive. Because I used to, before the setup I've got now, I used to have. I mean, the definition of it is just their definition. It's all cloud servers. It's all cloud, and it's all virtual servers on the cloud. I fucking hate that term. Really, it's not. It's just anyway. So virtual servers, they have like, they call 10 different things. You know, they've got slightly different names for them, but all the same thing, but just managed differently.
Yeah.
And the one they had that I used to use let you do that. Like, you add storage manually. You could, like, it would automatically. I mean, you still had to go into Linux and do the real things, but you could add storage as much as you wanted without changing the actual server type. Whereas the one I'm on now is a lot cheaper, but it's completely inflexible, and that's the problem. So I am actually looking, but I've been with these guys for a long time. But yeah, the other thing is they're very, very mainstream. They're very, you know, they're always trying to push AI for your website and all that on the front pages and things.
So, Hamish, one of the things, video, right? Because you run a PeerTube server.
That's the big problem, yeah. That's the big problem we've got.
Because I'm thinking, like, how many gigs do you need for a PeerTube server? Well, you know, like, how many is your PeerTube instance at sort of at the moment?
That's literally what I was just going to look up. I forgot which server it's on. I never remember.
I have a much lower threshold of quality than most people. I would be happy with 480p.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, a lot of people won't watch something unless it's high. Everything's 4K. Why? It's two fucking people's heads chatting away.
Yeah, exactly.
Why does that need to be 4K?
And we're only getting older, so we don't want to up the definition.
What a waste of energy and resources. And, you know, it's just... Oh, but that's the standard now. No, it doesn't have to be, you know.
So,
anyway,
yeah,
hang on, PeerTube. There we go.
The vibe I get is that 720 is like the lowest acceptable standard. But I'd happily go for 480 and not have
a problem with 480 for a lot of stuff, perfectly fine. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Okay, what's the damage?
The problem is if I give that as an option, the server then makes both.
Yeah.
You know, although there's ways of choosing and stuff. PeerTube's getting better at sort of letting you do the technical stuff yourself, but obviously the idea is that anybody should be able to, well, once the server's running, PeerTube is meant to be sort of user friendly in a sort of YouTube-y sort of style way. So, you know, there's only so much that they can do that way. At the moment, I mean, this is the thing, it's only 240 gigs, the server storage. Okay. And it's at nearly 200 at the moment, so there's about 30 gigs free.
For the whole server?
For the,
that's not bad for how much video you've
that's
got.
That's the server with PeerTube and Foundry on it, but Foundry doesn't take much space. And also, I'm going to move Foundry to another small server by itself because it's having trouble working with. That's the other thing I don't like is you can manually install the system you want, but a lot of server software assumes you're using one of the big distros, and that's it.
Yeah,
Debian usually.
Although Arch has the advantage in that you know, the Arch wiki tells you how to set up servers really, really well. So,
and a lot of stuff is packaged in the AUR in a way that
you can just. So, I mean, I'm really thinking about. I don't like changing things on the servers too much because sometimes it causes disruption and stuff.
Yeah,
and I've only got what I can't afford two of every server, which is really the ideal. It's, you know, you have one which is this exact, you know, the actual backup of the other one. But offline, the problem with the video storage is not that I can't get storage elsewhere or even, you know, home storage to stuff that's getting archived. Or, you know, there's ways of doing it. The problem is implementing it so that PeerTube can look it up.
Mm.
And they only use a couple of different methods. Is it S3 it's called? Is that right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
So you can add that, but that comes with a price overhead for that service, and it gets getting on. But I'm just looking at what was the thing you said? I forgot the name. Mythic Beast. Yeah, they're on, and that's bandwidth, not storage. Ah, right, I've misread their thing. Yeah, I'm just looking at what they've got, and that's the other thing. They've got a monthly bandwidth limit as well.
Oh, yeah.
On the servers. And I just with the way the server set up and Ionis, I just don't have to think about it.
It's
fastest type of connection you can possibly get through. You know, obviously they've got denial of service blocking and all that kind of, you know, and a firewall to their overall system and everything. But within a few milliseconds, you've got straight in full bandwidth, you know, for the thing. So there's the disk. Oh no, they do let you choose hard drive instead of SSD though, which makes it a fuck ton cheaper.
Oh really? That much cheaper?
That's perfectly fine for videos, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a quarter of the price. Two pence per gigabyte, or 8 pence per gigabyte for SSD.
Oh, that is a massive. I was not expecting that to be much different.
Mm. So if you go for but the hard drive is you've got a minimum though as well.
Oh, okay.
SSD they'll give you like a tiny they'll go as low as 5 gig drive.
Why is hard drive cheaper? Because I would assume it would take more energy to run, right?
That's part of it, isn't it? Yeah. But they probably have loads of them.
Yeah,
right.
Their servers have probably had them sitting there for years, and you know the. But if I get a 400 gigabyte server with similar sort of power, that would be it's about the same price actually. Mine's has got more oomph. Now I'm getting a 4-core for roughly the price of their 2-core.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's on Ionis.
Ionis, yeah. So that's the thing, is that some bits of it are really cheap, and a lot of it is automated and very good. Security, obviously, if you open a port in your firewall and don't have security, you're fucked. You know, you've done it to yourself. But if you just open the ports you need to and, you know, do everything sensibly, I've never had any problems. You know, I've never had any big issues with, attacks on web servers or anything like that. You know, I get a lot of login attempts. Because I've got SSH and stuff open, you get shit ton of that, it's very difficult. But sometimes I lock that down too much, and then suddenly something goes wrong, and I can't get back in, and I've got to go around the houses to get. So, but the good news is there's two ways to get into my server. The other way is through your account. You can then go into a virtual.
Some of them offer that. Yeah,
virtual KVM. Yeah, But again, that's only really your login and password that's protecting that as well. So
yeah, but I'm assuming it's not on SSH, so you've got that kind of...
So you would also need to know, you'd need to know the server's passwords and stuff as well, and, you know, there's a few things you would need to know.
Yeah.
A determined person can... Yeah, a determined person will get into
Obviously, both of you use keys for your SSH, but do you then disable the password login for extra security?
Oh, God, yes.
I don't
have any password. It's all dumb keys. Thing. Pardon?
Yeah. I do it because it's the dumb thing. If I felt like nobody was going to ever judge me for it, I wouldn't bother.
It immediately stops brute force password.
The stuff I've got is like, it's my web server. Like for you, it would be a lot more work. Like if my web server gets hacked and I just have to wipe it and like re-upload,
PeerTube server is not as easy
This is why I think that if Hamish decided to pack up PeerTube and go home, I think I would host videos just on a website rather than go PeerTube.
I have thought about that as well. But the difference obviously is that I host PeerTube for several people to use.
Mm.
I'm forgetting people's names now. Baldy American guy,
Drew.
Really nice chap, talks to us. Big on the Feddy. Fucking hell, what's his name? Ozone.
Oh my God, you forgot Ozone?
I almost ousted him a bit. But Ozone has taken his stuff off because he's doing like a vast amount now. He went and did his own PeerTube server. So he said, look, there's no point in me taking up your bandwidth when it's going to go. So I think, apart from a couple of people sort of casually using it, I think Andrew's got some little videos on there and stuff.
Some music,
It's mostly just us. And really, thinking about it, you're probably right. You probably could do that.
Starting to prefer. I've talked about this a few times, but I don't think everything has to be connected. I think it's fine to just have a website with videos on it. It would be a lot simpler. You don't need a database. You can do it.
That's what amazes me about these web gallery sites. Is like I was building things like that for people in the 1990s, and I wasn't making it as fucking complicated as you are. Mm. You know,
is it that like because? What you could even do, because nowadays, like, video podcasts are all the rage. I mean, we're even doing one right now.
I'm assuming there's some sort of vodcast.
I'm assuming that there is some sort of standard for that in RSS feeds, right? Like a video version. Is it just like the same?
I'd imagine there's some. Yeah.
Is it just the same standard? Well,
there's probably five competing standards, let's be honest.
Yeah, there's probably seven ways to do it, and they all don't work with each other.
Well, just use the one that like iTunes picks up or whatever, right? But is it still called Apple Music, whatever? And because we do the Freebooters audio feed, you know, like you set up the standard for that, Drew. Because I remember you were looking it up or something, you filled that in ages ago, and it all seems to be pretty good. Actually, it works great on my phone for my podcasting.
True.
And so I'm assuming that for that it's basically the same as that, but with
we just copy how YouTube does it, right? YouTube does RSS, and although that links to a web
YouTube RSS. We come up with a standard.
I assume it's similar to, if possibly identical to the way MP3s, you know. I assume it's just the same enclosure stuff and you just put a video file instead of a audio.
Yeah, but
I was just thinking that the other thing about PeerTube, of course, is I know you're saying not everything needs to be connected, but it is a discoverability route.
I'm starting to be anti-discoverability. I think it's fine to think for things, so long as they're public and accessible. Because honestly, how often do you watch things because they're discoverable in that way versus somebody just linking it to you?
Well, I tend to do that on PeerTube.
Yeah, PeerTube.
Oh, you do?
Because I've gone to the effort of setting up my PeerTube to be networked. It will make recommendations and stuff, you know?
90% of what I watch and what I watch for the first time is somebody linking it.
You're probably right.
I think it's fine. Let's go back to sharing things that way. We don't need fucking computers but
how
recommending.
How will you get reach through your content?
Does it scale?
No, your numbers. You know.
What's the opposite of selling out? I think Drew's doing the opposite of selling out. Buying in. Yeah.
That sounds like worse.
That sounds, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, I like how PeerTube works in the Fedi, to be honest. Like, I prefer it over YouTube. So I
it's nice that you can just go boom. There's, you know, it's the feed. It comes. You can have it in your feed and everything.
Yeah,
and
it throws it into the social mix.
Oh, we should get off the Fedi. We should have communities, like, ideally not on Discord, but like the community we've got on Discord, a nice little self publicly, the people. It's a self-contained community, and we should go back to like web forums and start get things that are publicly available.
Fittiness and inconvenience, well, and convenience, not inconvenience, and convenience.
Most of the FOSS people who I follow through social media, who are a bit like, you know, social media-y, have at one time or another tried to set up a forum, and it's always fizzled out.
I think that's what's stopping me from doing it.
I was just going to say, forums tend to go one of two ways. They either... And this is why they can fizzle it. Either way can fizzle it. One way is it's around a certain community, and that community stays together and works. Like, so we used to have one for a bit of a niche game because it was a mod for another game. We used to play a game called True Combat, and it was a
Counter-Strike.
No, I didn't play Cheater Strike
very
much.
Niche little.
Yeah, no, but True Combat was a similar sort of game, to be honest, but it wasn't. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that in the game itself. The point is that we had a community for that, and we had like a international tournaments and all sorts, and we had like this was all organized through one little forum, and it ran really nicely. But the other way it can go is it can get really huge and disparate.
Yes.
And that all falls apart because of how disparate it becomes.
And that's part of what I'm saying. I think there needs to be a... I don't know how you implement it, because you can't just go, well, we've gone over the limit, we kick, you know...
But it's not just the number of people. It's where... The problem I have... This is one of the problems I have with people doing... And I had to sort of explain this quite a lot to some people when I was doing my streams to start with. Is they'd start treating the stream chat as a continuation of chat from Matrix or something, or Discord, or whatever. You're like, no, don't fill up the stream chat with, you know, your programming problem that you're talking about. Go chat there. You know, you can type in two different windows. You know, that's why they're windows. You know, you can click from one to the other. You know, and I had to sort of push that to people. It's like, stop talking about it in general. Yeah, this chat here is for what's happening live, you know.
So think if I, because I want to set up a forum for freebooters, but part of my thought is like, why would people message on the forum rather than just typing in the chat on Discord, which is where we have discussion? And I think
a lot of stuff gets missed in that though. That's the other thing.
I think there's a quality to not real time conversation that is lost in real time conversation. I think there would be a value to it, but even then, people be like, I could make this message, or I just type it in the chat.
Going
back to thinking of having different media for different things rather than, I mean, what social media has become is just a stream of everything all the time. We need to go back to discrete, specific.
That's the sort of double-edged sword of the way the Fedi works, is that you can get all your stuff in one feed, but do you want it all in one feed? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
I'm starting to realize I like the separation.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I don't think everything needs to be on the Fedi, but I do enjoy the Fedi. But with the asynchronous conversational style, I like the idea of when we write blog posts that reflect on other people's blog posts.
I like
reading something you've written, and I've done this a few times, and I've just sort of responded to it almost.
Because you don't always have the time or time synchronization or whatever, scheduling or whatever to get this together like we're doing. It's not this kind of conversation either.
It's an essay written in response.
Like in the olden days where people used to write letters into newspapers, and then they used to have a counter, it feels a little bit of that era, and I kind of like that where you just
it's slowing things down as well. I think making things smaller and making things slower.
Yeah, and also that's more considered. You know, like you can.
Well, that's kind of the same. I think that's the same thing, isn't it? If slowing it down makes it more considered.
Yeah, it's like there's a Fedi instance called Alippo.social. I bring this up from time to time, where you're not allowed to use the letter E. So if you're, and that is surprisingly difficult to do.
I'm not surprised at how difficult that would be.
And but the it slows you down to the point where you absolutely consider every single word that you write. I think there's something. I think it's like
intentionality rather than Sorry, very briefly, just the other thing about social media, YouTube, it's implied to be infinite to break down the barrier. Because, you know, back in the day, you'd be like, should I make this forum post? No, it's a bit dumb. I'll think about that a bit more. Where it's not, it's just any fucking random idea, just fire it out there. It doesn't matter because it's just an infinite stream. You can't use it up. You know, you cannot. I think the implied infinity is a problem too.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's an interesting thing I was going to raise with you on the PeerTube, Hamish, was... instead of, like, with PeerTube, right, is it not possible to say, right, here's the PeerTube instance, it's 100 gig or 200 gig or 300 gig, that's it. So if you want to put more content up, you've got to take other content off. Like, you've got this
space. Or even that could happen via, like... like, when you're close to running out of space, just look at what's the video that's had the least views in the last 3 months? Knock that one off.
I have some of my own to help that way, but I like the idea of some video that's only had a couple of views, but it's interesting that you spot suddenly. This is why I'm not a fan of things like YouTube, because it's all pushed by the others. There might be something really good that nobody gets to see, and then sometime later they see it. Because that is one thing about the internet, is it? That is good, is that things are there. But then that comes back, don't it? Well, if it was just on your website, it would be fine. It would never go away.
That's another fundamental thing, not devaluing something just because it's of interest to fewer people.
It can be
of incredible importance to a very small number of people, and that's a value. So,
So doing it by statistics is quite a difficult way to sort of think about it, unfortunately, yeah. Because the other way is like, over a certain date, old or whatever and stuff, but
that's kind of the fairest way, but again,
if you've done a short film, then you know you're going to want to keep that
maybe
around.
This idea is better, where each user, they have a quota, and if they want to upload something, they're over quota.
I don't want to drive people away either. I don't want them to go, oh, fuck it, I can go on YouTube and just put as much shit as I want.
It is different from YouTube, though. I think it's fine to have differences.
Yeah, and also YouTube has designed that on purpose. Like, they created the infinite because no one can compete with that. You know, they wanted to sort of devalue the expect, or they wanted to make the expectations... so that of infinite broad bandwidth and infinite space, just so, like, how long did YouTube were YouTube the only video place in town, like, for decades, really?
Yeah.
It's also a way after the democratic, you know, because the internet represented a democratization of media production, media distribution, right? So how do the corporation?
It's 1 gigabit a second, by the way. Sorry, unlimited. Sorry? 1 gigabit a second. I'm just reading the server stuff. It's 1 gigabit a second, unlimited.
So how do the corporations reinstantiate their control over quality media? And it's by devaluing user media by making it infinite.
That's a good point.
Inflation.
Because of their interest. All they care about is time. It's time because it's ads. You know, if it's an hour long, we can get this many ads in it. They don't care. They don't care about anything apart from length of content that is watched.
Yes.
That's the only metric that fundamentally they care about. And that, I think that has a devaluing. So we still need to turn to the corporations for the quality media, because this is just, you know, I fell apart there at the end, but I think there's something in that.
I think you've got a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they wanted to cause a hyperinflation of community media almost. But also, like, that's kind of interesting in context of shorts being, you know, like if I was to be a. If I was to start content, if I was younger and I wanted to start content again, you know, starting my YouTube journey, but from today, I'd probably be on somewhere like TikTok, where it's short form. And that's also works in the realm of ads, because you can show ads in between shorts. So you can, you know,
I suspect they do.
Probably,
probably.
Because I'm a little bit intrigued by the short content in general. Like like the idea of just putting the brevity of something that's a minute or long.
I like it. I like it. It's not for me. I like very, very long form stuff. But I like.
Yeah, I'll watch something that's
variety.
2 or 3 hours.
Variety is good.
Yeah,
and variety of form.
Yeah. See, I do on occasion wonder about putting short form content on the loops thing, the Fedi loops thing.
I don't tend to like long form stuff.
Why take it to another? This is the thing. Why put it on a different platform? This is one thing that I think Google have cottoned on to, is that, well, fuck it, we'll do that thing, even though there's nothing stopping people doing short form on Google to start, on YouTube to start with. But making it a thing to compete with the other thing that's got this point of sale,
part of it's presentation. If I've got a certain style of stuff on PeerTube, and then suddenly that's interspersed with 1 minute clips, I feel that kind of breaks the flow of it. But also,
all right, so if somebody's looking through your channel generally, sort of thing.
Yeah,
well, that does happen.
I also think making it
on
a
YouTube,
thing
it does look a mess. Yeah.
Going
back to like recorded music, but an opera is distinct from a pop music single.
Mm.
Are distinct forms with distinct ways of interacting with them, and I think There's something in that.
Yeah, the shorts, because the shorts is like you watch one, you then watch the next one. It is very like low value bullet content, which on principle of it, I don't think I like, but I do like brevity, like the brevity and the idea of telling a story in a minute or something like that. But then I don't know how
I wish people would use it more, because I think really it is just, I wish people would sort of embrace the inherent qualities of that a bit more, design things more to, because you see a lot of chopped up stuff, right? Or just people talking for a short time. I know there are some, there's some very, actually, I've never seen them myself, but I've heard from other people, there's some very popular TikTok channels on narrative. It's essentially like a soap opera type thing with just like, very short episodes. And that's interesting.
Yeah. Some of the comedy I found on it got a chuckle out of me. Because a minute, like the thing is, with comedy is that it often works best in short bursts. So shorts, I think, does quite well on that. Actually, do you hear they're bringing back?
It's one I found years ago. It was. This is very TikTok-y. It's very like future dystopia. But it was a very pretty lady who would just dance while talking about left wing politics.
Oh right, okay.
Great, yeah, love it.
Oh, well, fair enough.
That sort of thing reminds me of. Did you ever watch Max Headroom? The drama series.
Yeah. I only know the guy.
That had some question. Strange things like that,
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how. I was going to say, am I taking this off topic? But I don't know if we've got one. So I was going to say, I watched those two films that were mentioned, one from you and one from, who was it that mentioned it?
Is it Nader?
Nader, it was Nader. You're right. It was Nader that mentioned the other one. And I've watched the two of them over the past couple of days. And
which two were they?
It was Psycho Goreman. Sorry, oh, yeah. PD Psycho Goreman.
Psycho Goreman, yeah.
And Freaky Tales.
Yeah, not watch that one. I better not spoil it then.
Freaky Tales better.
You do?
But I'm not going to say much about it now because I don't want to spoil it, obviously. But there's a few things that once you guys have watched it, we should talk about that one then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's worth critiquing. Have you seen Psycho Goreman, Chris?
I haven't yet, but I've shown the trailer to Rosie and she's like kind of into it.
See,
so we'll watch it.
The trailer, if I'd seen that trailer, if I'd just seen either of those trailers but not with the conversation around it, I would have just went, nah. Because they're modern trailers that don't really fit the film that well.
I don't think the Psycho Goreman trailer does it justice. Yeah,
no,
I agree.
No, it's not. It doesn't give you it doesn't have the feel of it, of the film at all.
Okay. No.
Is the film comedy?
It's a parody of films like E.T. plus a bit of just like 80s general sci-fi horror. It's a parody. It's very
and it's got
retro.
lots of references. Yeah. Particularly, one of the biggest ones is Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, okay.
There's two big references to Calvin and Hobbes, like front and center throughout the film. And the other big reference, I forgot what it was. I said it to you on Discord, I think. I forgot what it was. But there was another really obvious reference at one point. But yeah, But yeah, this will be interesting. If you've both seen this other film, it'll be interesting to see what your reaction to this is. But I got a big feeling of, when I watched Freaky Tales, of Maximum Overdrive. Not the film content in any way, just some of the feeling of it. Have you seen Maximum Overdrive? What do you think of it?
I've seen that.
I know I have, but I can't remember what it is.
It's Stephen King's only directed film, I think. Have you seen it, Chris? No.
No. No.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I didn't know. See, this is the thing. Until I saw an article about it on Wikipedia or IMDb or whatever, I didn't know it was derided or in any way. You know? But that's it. It's professional critics are professional critics,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's like some, and there's loads of films and books and comics and all sorts, I'm sure, that have succeeded despite all these arseholes, you know.
Well, I think a good critic is, I think we can be a bit too derisory towards critics. I think there's a lot of shitty critics, but a good critic is very good at, you know, identifying the sort of
explaining the their
cultural strings, you know, and objectively looking at this film to the extent that we can do that. And saying, is it of quality? Is it succeeding in what it's setting out to do? That kind of thing. But what they absolutely cannot, 100% cannot tell you is whether you will like a particular thing. Because that's two different things. And that's important. Yeah.
But it's whether or not they like it that comes through a lot of the time.
Yeah, I suppose there are
things, I think this is incredible. This is the most important thing I think you need to realize when you become an adult is that there are things that are good. And there are things that you like, and they don't necessarily overlap entirely.
Well, it's like your film rating.
Exactly. Oh my god, that was some unhinged filmery. That was.
That got some people wound up. I noticed. And...
The
ones I can understand why you rate certain ones like things from a series. I can understand why you rate some of them lower than others, but there's certain ones that I just think you've put way up that
the fact that he put Crank so high up and Crank 2.
I've not actually watched those, but I'm aware of them.
Crank is a work of fucking art. I will defend, and I'm not even doing that like ironically or whatever. I genuinely think that is a masterpiece of filmmaking.
I've got to rewatch them.
Yeah. I've not seen them at all, so I can't really do it. But yeah, I would recommend. I think you will like. As you say, you can't tell everyone they're going to like them, but I think you will like Freaky Tales.
What are the ones you think I've put too highly, though, Hamish? I don't want to make another podcast about my listings, but I'm curious.
I'll stay sure.
I can't remember the what's the full. You got the length. That's quicker than yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if I disagree with Crank. Like, to be honest,
you've got to rewatch Crank. Crank is genuinely amazing.
Well, I've not seen it, but it's Jason Statham, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
thought it was a different Crank.
First thing, it's a video game. You're watching a video game. Keep that in mind, when you?
GTA.
Oh, yeah. I've got to do a buy rating. There we go. Yeah, some of the ones you've got as 10. There's a few of this is one thing I've noticed about your taste, Drew, is you've got a very definite young adult enjoyment streak in the things.
Yeah.
I'm not dissing that in any way. I'm just saying that there's a certain sort of thread through a lot of the things you like, like The Hunger Games. I mean, I did watch them because you said. And I did watch them, and they were all right. I can't really remember much about them, but, you know.
Have either of you seen Twilight?
Yes. Oh, no. That's a one from it. I've watched it. Is that the vampires thing?
Yeah.
I've watched all of them about 7 times because I've had various friends who love them, who wanted to do, like, watch it. I've probably watched them, 3 times with one friend, a couple of times with another friend. So I've sat through them many, many times, and they are fucking... A bit, they're irredeemable, but kind of funny to watch. They're fun to watch with somebody who is really into it, who's okay with you telling them it's shitty.
it's very hilarious.
Incredibly. It reads like romance, like very mildly kinky romance stuff written by a Mormon. That's how it reads because that's exactly what it is.
What it is, yeah. Like, yeah, no, I got dragged into it last night with Twilight. I don't understand.
Oh, Rosie likes Twilight.
Well, for the
The more I hear about this woman,
well, that's more forgivable than the soft
fucking
cookies.
soft cookies.
I'd give it a 2 or a 3.
They put pictures on the film. There was pictures and there was
I don't know.
Noisy.
Have you got to the vampire baseball game?
Yes.
That is a genuinely hilarious fucking scene. I love the vampire baseball game. It's so fucking stupid that it's a lot of fun to watch. I got to the bit where somebody throws a baby into a fire.
Which bit was that?
Hang on, I'll find a clip because that
blimey.
Was that in the first one?
Drew, the thing I was saying about is some of the things that are in a series, I almost always agree with the ordering you've got them in, but not necessarily the rating you've given them.
All right.
Like, but there is one that I would order differently, and it's Star Trek IV being a 10. Nah, I'd maybe give that an 8. And it is a great film.
That's the best Star Trek. No,
I'd give the motion picture given a 9 rating, I think it's fine. But I'd
put, you're right. Yeah, because most people don't rate the motion picture. I think it's underappreciated.
Excellent.
I think
it's very good. It's very Star Trek. It's a science fiction film.
It's actually a science fiction film, which the other ones
which
are.
Which is what Star Trek. Yeah, no, they're action films. Yeah.
And
of course, I had to look at where you'd listed the Alien films or which ones you'd
eaten. Yeah.
And it took me a bit longer than I was hoping to find one. I think you didn't put Alien. Was it 8 you've given it? Something like that?
Oh, is it that high? I thought it was lower than that, honestly. Hang on.
No, maybe 7. Hang on.
Alien is 6.
6. No, I mean, I think it's one of the best films ever made. I think the filmmaking. Good. Oh, yeah, I know that. No, I get your... I watched the thing. I get your scale.
Also, I'm just going to reiterate my demand that you watch Megalopolis.
Yeah, no, I've almost done it a couple of times. And hang on, before we go on, I need you to see. It's only 5 seconds. Just
some
watch
of the TV. Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna watch.
I've got to sign in and confirm I've not bought. Blah 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 blah. I can't watch things in Discord. How do I get?
Yeah,
to
no, click link.
Right. It's asking me to go to YouTube.com now. How do I get the actual video? For fuck's sake!
Genuinely funny.
Oh, got okay. It, so yeah, the.
Oh, now it's telling me I've got to trust an external site because I'm leaving Discord. Fuck Discord. Fuck it up. It's off sideways with a broom handle. Right, I'm going to watch it now. 4 seconds. Okay.
That's not in the first film of Twilight, is it?
No. So spoilers, but yeah, fucking. It's just how I don't know. There's something very.
Wow,
it's shot like it's comedy is the problem with that.
Yeah, that's it. It looks like a comedy.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't just have that look because it's taken out of context.
Was that Michael Sheen?
Yeah,
was that Michael Sheen? He's in
the later films. Yeah.
Also, the blue filter over the entire film is weird. Like, I don't have a problem with filters to denote like a mood or a vibe, but they just use this blue filter for the whole film for no reason. Like, it's just like
filmography.
That's the thing that gets you.
They don't know how to do light and color anymore. Editors or any good at color grading just don't seem to exist anymore.
Oh, they did in Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones had some great color grading scenes.
That's true. Yeah, I would also say Psycho Gorman, like indie filmmakers still get it, but
I was going to say that Freaky Tales has a very I don't want to spoil anything, but it's got a very definite use of a color filter that comes up from time to time, and it is very well done.
The one
thing I'll say that annoyed me about it.
Mm.
Without spoiling the film itself, it's made to look like different types. It's made to look like it's been recorded in different media.
Mm.
And it's got that fake VHS thing going on.
Oh, sorry, what film is this?
It's Freaky Tales.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So one of the segments is meant to be on a VHS sort of thing. It's not as bad as those... It's not really bad, like the VHS horror films are. I like the films, but not the extent to which they degrade... You know, and it's obviously a computer they've used to do it, and you start to see patterns and all that. Anyway, but they use the sort of fake version. But now that I think on it, as soon as I'm talking about that, and given how the rest of the film went, I think they were probably doing that deliberately for an ironic effect, doing that. You know,
that's fair enough. Yeah, computer kind of thing. If you're just doing a YouTube whatever, then whatever. But like, if you've got the budget to make a feature film and you want a VHS effect, just shoot it on VHS.
That is exactly that's exactly my point. And I think those VHS movies, probably a lot of the segments did do that, and that's why it works, because you're not seeing, but then some of it anyway.
I watched a YouTube video essay a long time ago, which was this girl talking into a camera about, interesting enough, Game of Thrones, but she filmed it on an old VHS recorder because when she was young, she always wanted one and she could never afford one, or her family couldn't afford one. But what I found quite odd about it was that she was using modern sound equipment to do the sound, Which thank God for that. Because
a channel I like did a similar thing where and it was very odd to have VHS quality and really nice sound.
It was odd, but I would not want to have had the VHS quality sound because that wouldn't have.
Because of my brain forgetting, I've got something to say to that, and I've forgotten the other thing I was going to say in between. But there's a person on the ferry, a woman on the ferry, who I think I've liked some of their videos before. She's amazing. She's this trans woman from Canada, and she's a pilot. She's trans rights and all that activist, sort of thing. Activist. Yeah. She's worked for like local, like PBS, whatever it is in Canada's PBS local, which we don't have. We've got local radio where people can go and volunteer, but not television. I wonder why it never took off here. Anyway,
we're too ugly.
Oh, that's a good point. So she gets like all the old equipment and everything. And she uses it to make videos on modern computers, And she does it all. So her videos will be literally shot on a VHS or super VHS.
That's amazing.
And I think you'd like that. Hang on, I'll put a link in. So if I can remember, I know where I'll find it in my subscriptions. See if I can find. Oh, God. And I think I can remember the other thing. It's to do with your list, Drew, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, it's the Maritime Girl. That's it, the Maritime Girl. She's on MakerTube, but also if you look at my...
If I was good at writing programs, I would write, like, I don't know if you've ever used FreeTube, which is like YouTube client for the desktop, which is pretty good. I would do that, but it would read videos not just from, like, you could read videos from PeerTube and RSS feed and all these different like kind of ways, and it would try and funnel them into like a YouTube-y style feed. Because I would use it more, except every couple of weeks YouTube does something and then it fucks over the the API, which
well they don't want.
Yeah, that would be a cool thing. Yeah.
Well,
I'm trying to remember the other thing I was going to say. Drew, one of the things that I think I would. I think there's a trend. I don't know when you first did this list, like when you started this.
Not really long ago,
I think quite a lot of the things are like Stone Cold classics, and I think those ones you've listed similarly, if not in rating, at least roughly in order that I would. But a lot of the newer stuff you've put up, and I think, I've said this myself though, when I did my Alien rating video, Alien Predator rating video, is that if I come back to this in a year's time, some of this might change. And I think it's once you've had more time to take in the newer stuff. Yeah. And I think there's a few things on there that you've got quite high up that are fairly recent that you might, over time...
Yeah,
It's not that they're not as good as you say, but it's...
I definitely have a recency bias. Because Chris knows enthusiastically recommend things because I'm like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Like, while I'm in it, it feels very special. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, it's a 7.
Yeah, the interesting ones for me are the Star Trek films and TV series, and you've got Deep Space Nine rated 10.
Yes.
Now I think again because there's so much slop at the beginning of that, and
Deep Space Nine is great from the start.
Wobbly bits. I think there's
DS9, that's a long held opinion. That one's not going to change. DS9 is 10, and Voyager's going up. Voyager's increasing. TNG's going down, and Voyager's going up.
I think TNG is massively overrated, especially when you watch back. The first three seasons are shite. I just don't know how they, And I don't think the acting's very good for the first couple of series.
What are the more recent ones that you think are over?
What, Star Trek? Generally? You've given Psycho Gorman a 10, and it is very good. Because Chris hasn't seen it, I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's somewhat in respect to its budget. Like, it's a very low budget indie film. Like, they did all the special effects themselves, like the practical stuff. And watched it in a group, and we just all really fucking enjoyed it. We got a lot of laughs out of it, like, but a lot of fun. And I like the way it pisses on E.T. because I kind of fucking hate
E.T. And some of it, they are great. Some of the older ones. White Men Can't Jump,
That is literally my favourite film.
I don't think it's a bad film, but I just... So it's more about your enjoyment of it than it is about your objective rating in that case. I think it always is, though, isn't mostly, it?
Yeah, this is mostly how enjoyable it is.
It's me, for you,
Not is it of quality necessarily.
Yeah.
Also, can
Tootsie at a 9 is that was a bit of a surprise one. I was like, Tootsie, oh, okay.
I rewatched it recently. That's
probably what I need to do because there's a few things.
Yeah.
You're not the only person to mention it. Recently.
Yeah, I was afraid. I think I said the other day I was afraid to rewatch it because it, you know, it's made in 1982. It deals with gender and cross dressing and stuff. I was like, that's not going to hold up. That's going to be painful to watch. But I watched it and it absolutely holds up. There's a little.
You know who it was Rob Brydon was talking to Tom, the early guy who plays Jonathan Pye. Tom Wallace. Something like anyway. Yeah, it was him that he was on Rob Brydon's podcast, and that happened to come up. And there was a few things, basically what you just said.
It really completely holds up, and I was to a surprising extent. It's a better film than I expected it to be. A recommendation for you, Hamish, though, out of my tens, personal recommendation for you, The Vast of Night. I think you will enjoy that.
Drew, I just want to give you a commendation. Your website actually looks excellent on Dillo, the browser.
Oh, good. I guess there's nothing in there that would... I've put it in chat for you, Hamish. There's nothing in there.
I don't see that on the... Oh, there it is. God, I was looking straight at it.
Oh, you gave Our Flag Means Death really 7, good.
What's that one, sorry?
You gave Our Flag Means Death a 7 and Andor a 7. I would have thought Andor would have made it a bit higher.
Yeah, I thought you'd have liked Andor more.
Very, very good, but I don't think it's quite as good as part of it is. It's I think people are just amazed that there was a modern Star Wars thing that was good. That's part of it.
I think it could probably have been a bit shorter as well. Not as short as one series, but not as long as the was it two series?
Yeah.
Is that right?
If it had been, I think it's excellent. I think it's clever. I think it's sophisticated. But I don't. It wasn't in any way. It wasn't doing anything that I was completely novel.
Mm. Oh, guys, just
it was in the context of Star Wars, though. I think.
Star Wars
as a franchise is not one of those ones that's likely to try and piss off the people like Trump or you know the mainstream media. Or whatever, I think that one did.
I've got a bit of a suggestion, folks. Since we've hit 2 hours on the podcast and we seem to be delving into the last three
going in. That's kind of my fault.
We could wrap it up and just go live if you wanted to. I'm fine. But there's one question I do want to ask. Is this a Space Virgins or is this just a Freebooters with Hamish?
I think because I love the name Space Virgins and I want to keep doing Space Virgins. And I do want to not restrict it, but I think it should be mostly talking about things we've watched, if possible.
Maybe we can do that with the Psycho Gorman and Freaking Tales and stuff.
If we all
watch Psycho Gorman. We'd probably have more legs to it if we do one thing per episode.
And
that's this is a good introductory episode, a good pilot.
Introducing the idea. Yeah, okay. So this is not a Space Virgins, but it's also not a Freebooters. So I think what we have here is a crossover.
A crossover, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
this is Freebooters meets Space Virgins.
Well, Freebooters, you usually play a video game while you're chatting, don't you?
I have played some.
And that's what's made the crossover part of it. This is a video of us while we're chatting. And then,
We only use that's not on purpose. That just happened.
I know. I'm just trying to make a silly connection.
All right, cool.
Space Virgins meets Freebooters takes Manhattan.
Yeah. Also, on a more boring note, does PeerTube now allow you to have multiple owned channels or whatever it is?
I think there was something like that, but I'll be honest, I've been very, very lax. Because you asked me something about the website, and there is a problem with the website, and I didn't even know. I presume you're getting it through RSS.
I'm no longer getting it through RSS because it says there's a problem.
There's a problem. I've got. Well, I can do it. It seems to be a certificate problem, which is really weird. Because I'm trying to remember what.
Always with with the certificates everywhere.
I know, we need to stop.
No, the other ones are fine though.
The other ones are fine.
RSS won't let you take that out.
Anyway, should we take this on?
Okay, all right.
It seems to me.
Yeah, Freebooters. Nope, sorry. Space Virgin signing off.
Yeah,
that's the Red Dwarf one. Thank you for watching, and toodaloo. Ta-da!
Bye! Ta-da, yeah.